Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And this year our theme, love one another. And Jesus told his disciples, he says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Boy, how important it is that that we understand that. As a church, the first and foremost mark of the believer is love one for another. Not because we have a big, beautiful building. And Brother Ben hadn't been here in quite a number of years and was amazed at, of course, the property the Lord's given us and the work that you folks have had a part in doing on the building. But it's not because you have big, beautiful buildings. Because you have, an online presence or any other, anything else. He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. And that's so vital. And these one another's, so many of them, 100 of them, in fact, in our New Testament, and shared a little bit about that a few weeks ago. But tonight, we're going to look at another one of God's family rules, forgive one another. And so we're going to be in Ephesians, then we're going to turn over and read a verse in Colossians. And so let's first read here in Ephesians. I want us to read verses 31 and 32, and we'll read this in unison. Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32. Let's read this together. Ready? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. All right. And turn to the book of Colossians in my Bible. Oh, that's about 10 pages or so towards the back. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Two verses here that I'd like for us to read again in unison. Colossians chapter 3. Paul has instructed these believers as a Christian. There's some things you put off. There's some things you put on. And verse 12, as a Christian, we put on. Let's read verses 12 and 13 together. Ready? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our time together tonight. Father, we thank you that you have given us these one another's. And Father, we, as we study them, as we obey them and put them into practice, Father, we understand a little bit more of what you expect from us as the body of Christ. And Father, I do pray that we would love one another. And Father, that this love would be expressed in so many different ways. Father, as we have talked about encouraging, exhorting one another and forgiving one another, Father, I pray that you would help us, Father, to understand the forgiveness that we've received in Jesus Christ. And Father, based on that forgiveness, extend that forgiveness. Father, I pray that you would help us to grasp this truth. And Father, I pray that in all tonight that Jesus Christ would be glorified and that the love of Christ would be felt. Spirit of God, I pray that you would help me, help my voice. I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit and use me in this hour as I preach your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You know, in this sin-cursed world, we desperately need forgiveness. You know, the world understands a little bit of the need for forgiveness. You know, there's just something in the heart of mankind that cries out for forgiveness. And yet, because of the pain, because of the pride, refuses to forgive. You know, some of that is because the world doesn't know what forgiveness truly is. They've never come to the cross and experienced real forgiveness. But you know, some think that they cannot forgive, or even that they shouldn't forgive in circumstances and situations. And, you know, I hear things from time to time like, well, I can't forgive them because, well, then that would send the message that what happened was okay and it's not okay. Or, well, they just don't deserve to be forgiven. Or I can't forgive them because I can't trust them. You know, the Bible tells us again and again that we as God's children are to forgive. And the verses, we just looked at two of them tonight, specifically instruct us in the context of forgiving one another within the body of Christ because of these wrongs or slights, or as we read here in Colossians, quarrels. You know, we are commanded to forgive one another. You know, the word forgive in the scripture is, it refers to a dismissal, a release, a pardon. You know, the picture, a wonderful illustration or picture would be the Day of Atonement for the nation of Israel. The Bible tells us that on that Day of Atonement, that two goats were chosen, and the priest would take one of those goats, and that goat would be slain, and the blood of that goat would be then sprinkled on the other goat, and the sins of Israel confessed, and then that goat would be taken out into the wilderness, and that goat would be released. That goat would be let go. That goat would be sent away. And as a picture of the fact that the sins of the nation of Israel, the sins of the people were forgiven, they were sent away for another year. And you know, one author wrote, defining forgiveness. Forgiveness is the act of setting someone free from an obligation to you that is a result of a wrong done against you. And of course, we understand that. You know, if two people are in some kind of a quarrel and they sin against each other, as an outsider, I have no place in inserting my forgiveness. It's you forgiving someone from an obligation to you from a wrong that's done against you. Another definition I found helpful is forgiveness is clearing the record of those who have wronged you and allowing God to love them through you. Webster's defines forgiveness as to pardon, to remit. As an offense or a debt, to overlook an offense, to treat an offender as not guilty. You know, it's interesting, to remit speaks specifically to that idea of indebtedness. And to remit a debt would be to cancel that debt. And it would speak specifically to that particular transaction. But, you know, so often as we find forgiveness extended to the person and not to the particular offense. You know, as we find Jesus extending forgiveness, he looks to the sinner, to the offender, and Jesus forgives them without stating any particular sin or debt that is being cleared. And so this idea of to send away or to not impute the offense of someone, that easily transitions or easily extends to forgiving the offending person. See, if you forgive someone, then the past, if you have sent the past away, if you have let that past go, then that past is not there interfering with the decisions that you need to make today. And often people have spoken to me about this matter of forgiving, and their struggle with forgiving someone. Well, Pastor, you don't understand what they have done. You don't know the depths of the sin that they have sinned against me. You know, I want to remind us that the command to forgive that we've been given in Scripture is is indeed a command. You know, Jesus spoke about so much about forgiveness and instructed about forgiveness. We're going to get to look at some of that tonight from Matthew's gospel. But this passage tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, "And be kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You know, I can only imagine the difficulty of daily experiencing the pain of wrong, of sin that's been committed against you, and yet the Bible instructs us to forgive. You know, they look at what someone else's choices and what someone else's sin has cost them, and they struggle with their forgiveness. But Jesus. Jesus has forgiven us. And if God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us, we are to forgive one another. I want to make just a few statements tonight about this matter of forgiveness. Very simple statements. Number one, you're obligated to forgive. You're obligated to forgive. You see, it doesn't matter what someone has done to you. You are to forgive. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. You see, there's no exceptions given here. There's no disclaimers. And I want to point out this verse 32, is given to us right after verse 31. Look at verse 31. You're there. If you're not, would you turn there? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. I want us to read that together. Ephesians 4:31. I'll give you just a moment as you turn there. Ephesians 4:31. Ready? Let's read this together. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." You know, verse 32, this command, this instruction to forgive is given right on the heels of verse 31. You see, because of what has been done to you, you want to respond with bitterness. You want to respond with wrath or anger or clamor or evil speaking. And yet the Bible says forgive. See, I want to remind us that we don't get to hold on to someone else's sin however we want. So often, our sin is in response to someone else's sin. And it starts almost, if you will, a snowball or a chain reaction. You know, we don't get to hold on to that sin or indiscretion and respond with bitterness or wrath or anger or clamor. No. The Bible instructs us forgiving one another. You are to forgive another Christian. You are to forgive each other. You're to forgive me. I am to forgive you. Listen, the only way that you can truly put away the wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and all of that is to forgive. To truly forgive. See, we, as a Christian, as a child of God, you are obligated to forgive. But that forgiveness is because you have been forgiven. You forgive because Jesus has forgiven you. The power to forgive, the motivation to forgive, it's all found in the forgiveness that we have received from Christ. The basis for this forgiveness is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not because of us or because of our heart or how magnanimous we are as individuals. No. It is because Christ has forgiven us, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, the message that we have to share with this world, we preached a little bit about that this morning. The message that we have to share with this world is a message of forgiveness. It's forgiveness. You know, Peter, when he was preaching on the day of Pentecost. Now, again, I want to remind you, this was only about 50 days after the Passover, after that angry mob had shouted, "Crucify him," and Jesus Christ was nailed to that cross.
But Peter is preaching and in a marvelous display of the power of the Holy Spirit and the gift of speaking in all the languages that are listed there in Acts chapter 2. You know, the listeners, the hearers, they say, well, what shall we do? Peter, we hear you. What do we do? In verse 38, he says, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, that word remission is the same word that's translated forgiveness. So that sin can be carried away. So that sin can be put away. You know, that forgiveness, to be pardoned, to have that sin remitted, to have that sin released. You see, that it's so important we understand this pardon to receive, that could be theirs. It's, you know, we hear that sometimes in the news, that, you know, a convict has been pardoned by a governor or by, you know, maybe perhaps the president. And, you know, Peter's message was that their sin can be pardoned, not because, you know, someone wrote a letter to the powers that be or because they were pardoned because they, you know, there wasn't sufficient evidence or conflict of interest or some kind of some problem with the trial. No. Through repentance. Repent, Peter says. And through repentance, their sin can be forgiven. I want to say, we are to forgive. We are instructed, we are commanded to forgive, even though Jesus is the only one who can truly forgive. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? Oh, let me see if I can use the Gospels to explain. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. When we choose to sin, when we choose to act selfishly, those selfish actions and words and choices, they hurt people. But I want to remind us that ultimately all sin is against God. When we truly understand the who we are as a sinner, guilty before a holy God, and righteously and justly we stand condemned forever. And we realize that, and that's the reason that we run to the cross seeking forgiveness. We understand that sin is against God. And so to that end, only God can truly forgive sin. Well, in Matthew chapter 9, we got to preach a little bit from the latter verses in the chapter, but I want us to look at verse 1 and follow along with me as I read. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 1, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. You see, here in this passage, Jesus declared this man on the basis of faith, declared this man's sins to be forgiven. And of course, instantly, the scribes, the religious men that were there said, you can't do that. That's not right. You have no basis or no authority to say that man's sin is forgiven. And of course, Jesus then goes on to prove that he is indeed the Son of God, and that he does truly have power to forgive sin. See, Jesus alone, God alone, has power to forgive sin. And yet Jesus told us, when wrong has been done to us, we are to forgive. We're to pardon. We're to remit. We're to, you could say, drop the charges. Or refuse to press charges for what they have done to us. And certainly in some, even in some situations, that because of wrongs that are done, the authorities would need to be involved. But I'm saying, for the wrong that has been done to me and the debt that is owed to me. Truly, we cannot pardon a sinner. We cannot look to a man and say, "Thy sins be forgiven." The only Jesus can do that. You know, Jesus taught forgiveness when he gave in the Sermon on the Mount the model prayer. Let's look at that, if you would, please. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I want to begin reading in verse 9. You may know this, and if you do, you can just say this with me. We'll begin in verse 9 and read down through verse 13. Let's begin. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." See, Jesus in this prayer speaks about this matter of forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And just so that we would understand what Jesus meant by that, how important it is that we forgive one another, he goes on to explain a little bit more. Look at verse 14. Follow along with me as I read. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." See, Jesus is telling us that forgiveness that we just spoke in our prayer, in that prayer, you know, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debts." Those better not just be words. There better be real forgiveness that is given from the heart. And because the only assurance of forgiveness, the only assurance that we have a right relationship with the Father, is because of our willing forgiveness of others. See, Puritan preacher John Owen said, "Our forgiving of others will not procure forgiveness for ourselves, but our not forgiving others proves that we ourselves are not forgiven." See, this extending forgiveness, that's indicative of a heart that has been forgiven. See, this forgiveness is a daily exercise. For, you know, in this prayer, you know, "Give us this day our daily," this day, "our daily bread." We understand this model prayer is a pattern for our daily communion with God. And daily, this forgiveness is to be granted. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Matthew chapter 18, Jesus was teaching on forgiveness. Peter asked the Savior, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Tell 7 times? You know the answer, right? Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto thee until 7 times, but," say it with me, "70 times 7. You see, this is not an occasional act. This is a permanent attitude. This is the disposition of the heart of someone who has been forgiven. This forgiveness is extended. You know, we read it there in Colossians chapter 3. Put on, as a child of God, put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Oh, listen, how important it is that we understand this forgiveness, that we extend this forgiveness. You know, if there's going to be any body life, if there's going to be a right relationship, if we are going to be the family of God that accomplishes His work and seeks to build His kingdom, we can't have rifts of unforgiveness and hard-heartedness. If we're going to be a family, there has to be forgiveness. We see that in illustrations from the book of Genesis. Jacob had cheated his brother and his father had wanted to give Esau a blessing. And Jacob, at the encouragement of his mother, he disguised himself to deceive his blind father and passed himself off as his brother to receive the blessing. And if you remember the story, Esau hated him for it. Esau wanted to kill him for it, and Jacob had to flee for his life. But when Jacob came back some 20 years later, he had to face his brother. He did it, yes, with much fear and trembling, as he rightly should. But the Bible tells us that Esau forgave him. You know, later on in the book of Genesis, another marvelous story, the story of Joseph. How Joseph's brothers wanted to kill him, and instead of killing him at the suggestion, they sold him as a slave and shipped him off to Egypt. And yet God moved and worked and blessed Joseph, and Joseph forgave his brothers. You know, and you know how important it is that we truly forgive one another. You see, God's desire is that in Colossians, if any man have a quarrel against any, you see, we've got to work through that, and that forgiveness needs to be extended. That forgiveness is to lead to reconciliation. You know, one of the things as a parent that I watch for among the children in my family is that bad blood. You know, children can forgive very easily. You know, it's an interesting dynamic that, you know, they can be fighting and get in trouble for that, or get each other in trouble, and then just a few minutes later they're playing together again as if nothing happened. You know, it's a wonderful thing, but even then there can be bad blood, if you will. There can be some animosity from one child to another, and you know, the Bible tells us that for God's family, He doesn't want that animosity. He doesn't want that. He wants His children to be reconciled one to another. We're in Matthew chapter 6. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I want to read a couple verses here. Look at verse 23. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, read it with me, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You know, Jesus, the Son of God, is giving instruction here. And of course, this has to do with the Mosaic law and the different offerings that were given. He says, you've got an offering to give. You give it out of love for God, devotion to God, but you're not reconciled to your brother. My Spirit speaks to your heart about that, reminds you of that. Just leave the gift there. You take care of that matter. First, be reconciled to thy brother. It's not that I don't want the gift. It's not that God doesn't want the gift, Jesus says, but first, you must to offer that gift and to pretend that everything is okay between you and God, while there's aught between you and a brother, there's that unforgiveness. And he said that gift, though offered, though you would persist and offer that gift without being reconciled, it's of no significance, it's of no meaning. You see, forgiveness is to lead to reconciliation. But I want to point out something from Matthew chapter 18. We're talking about body life and how we as Christians are to interact one with another. You know, the scriptures, we made the case tonight that God expects, yea, commands that you forgive. It's written to us very clearly with no exceptions, no caveats, no disclaimers. You and I are to forgive one another. But for fellowship in the body, these opportunities for forgiveness sometimes must be sought out. Matthew chapter 18, I'm going to begin reading in verse 15. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Some of you are still turning there. I'll give you just a moment to find it. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You know, Jesus tells us here of how the offender, but the offended has that responsibility to go and to seek forgiveness. Seek that this matter be reconciled. And as we read here, you go to your brother, you tell him your fault between you and him alone. And if he hear you, he says, thou hast gained thy brother. Everything's good. The forgiveness has been sought. Forgiveness has been extended. Reconciliation has taken place. Then he goes on in verses 16 and 17 to speak what would happen should the guilty party refuse to repent. You see, he says you take with you one or two more, and then if he refuses to hear them, then the issue is brought up before the church, and if he refuses to hear the church, he is excommunicated. You know, after the steps here that are given here in Matthew chapter 18, have been exhausted, and this forgiveness and seeking forgiveness and seeking reconciliation have played out. He is to be put out of the church. He's to be treated, it says here, like a heathen man and a publican. Now, what does that mean? Well, simply it means to put it simply, he's to be regarded as an unbeliever. You know, the fact that he has refused to hear the concern of a brother, has refused to make it right, even when the matter has been brought up before the body of Christ, that hardening of his heart calls his very faith into question. See, he's regarded as a lost man. You know, every man is either lost or saved, and we're in fellowship with a brother, and as a Christian, we're trying to evangelize the lost, but no longer is he deemed a member of the body. He's regarded as an unbeliever. Not that, you know, he's barred from assembling. You know, we invite the lost to come, and we want them to hear the gospel. We want them to repent, but he is unable to participate in the blessings, the benefits of the church, the assembly. In particular, he's not welcome to be in communion at the Lord's table. He is excommunioned, or you could say excommunicated. You know, this passage here, Jesus speaks clearly that for those who have sinned, and that sin that has happened, that offense that has happened within the body of Christ, that forgiveness is to be, when necessary, sought out. You know, and again, there's no excuse for any kind of hostility or contempt on our part. You know, that's not how Christ treated heathens and publicans, but Christ, he reached out to them. He desired that they come to repentance. You know, the very fact that he would eat with publicans and sinners was questioned by the Pharisees and the scribes. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And Jesus declares his purpose for any kind of time that he spent with them was so that they could come to a place of repentance and faith. You know, the scriptures teach us that should a brother refuse to repent, should a brother refuse to harden his heart and there's no acknowledgement of the wrongdoing, there's no opportunity to extend that forgiveness, that brother is to put out of the fellowship. The relationship cannot continue as if there is nothing wrong. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Turn there with me if you would, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. Verse 6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition ye have received of us. For ye yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. You know this, you know, Paul is in his epistle to the church at Corinth speaks about this so-called brother who refuses to repent and persists in sin that brings reproach upon the name of Christ. And you know that as believers, you cannot carry on, you can't, forgiveness is not a tool for excusing sin. And the relationship cannot continue as if there is nothing wrong. It's not an excuse or a reason to tolerate sin. You know, it's interesting that even in the first century, Paul would have to write this. Today we have people that call themselves Christians, and yet to look at their lives, we would have to say the description fits. They walk disorderly. They don't walk after the tradition that they've received, that the way Christians have lived through the ages as the children of God. In his epistle to the church at Rome, Paul again writes, now he says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that ye have learned, and avoid them. You see, there is a tendency for people to profess faith in Christ and yet to live contrary to the Word of God. And yet the lines need to be drawn as clearly as possible. And the Bible tells us that as Christians, when they refuse to acknowledge that sin, there is to be a as little association there, that they are not to be a relationship as if there were nothing wrong. You know, look a little further in this epistle, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse 14. Verse 14, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in all means. The Lord be with you all. See, one preacher in his book about forgiveness says there's a sense that you never really let him go. Though you put him out of the church, though you put him out of your sphere of of fellowship, you call him back. You call him to repentance. If the offender at any time demonstrates this repentance, he is welcome back to fellowship. But until that point, he's regarded as an outsider. See, as God's children, we forgive. As God's children, we forgive one another. And we've answered some questions about what do you do when they won't. When they won't repent, when they won't acknowledge their sin, they won't make it right. But I want to remind us that we forgive. See, that unforgiveness leads to bitterness. Bitterness, that root of bitterness leads to all sorts of troubles. You know, the writer to Hebrews reminds us of that root of bitterness is springing up. It will trouble you. It will defile you. You see, the command that we are given as God's children is clear. Forgive one another. All bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted. Say it with me. Forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. Why? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let us pray.